Amen. How do you know that Jesus lives? I'm glad I can feel him.
Yeah.
Glad I know that he's real. Felt him today.
Yeah. Amen.
Thankful for that. And if you have your Bibles, I would like to take some scripture out of 2 Kings this morning. And some of this, what we'll preach, will tie in. It all ties in, right? I mean, this day, what God does and how he puts a service together. I'm always amazed. I shouldn't be amazed, but we are always amazed at the goodness of God. And I thought about a part of the message was just in God, there's victory. You realize God has never lost. I mean, you realize that.
Amen.
And Brother James was in Sunday school this morning, and he was going over the things of Joshua, and we all certainly read the book of Joshua and understand it, and always amazed at it. And Joshua, in that one part of the chapter there, in one part of the book, he comes time, and they'd all settled down in the promised land. Joshua was getting old. He was old. He was getting ready to leave. And he told them, and he called them all together, and he asked them there, or made it a proclamation or a declaration, whatever you want to call it. But he told them, he said, I want you to choose who you'll serve. Choose this day who you're going to serve. And James brought that up in Sunday school, but I'm reminded that Joshua, unlike a lot of us today, we'll talk to our loved ones and we'll get them together, and we're going to read in just a minute. We'll be in 2 Kings over there in the 6th chapter. But Joshua got them all together, and a lot of us today, well, we want to go to our loved ones. We'll say, well, you need to choose who you're going to serve. You need to choose to serve the Lord or not serve the Lord. You're going to choose to get saved or die lost. We'll stand at funerals sometimes. We'll tell people, you need to choose God or you're going to go to hell. But Joshua, not only did he say, choose this day who you're going to serve, he began to go over some things that he had seen in life. He began to remind them of some things about God. And he said, I want you to choose this day who you serve. But before you choose, I want to say a few things about the God that I'm serving. He said, for the God that I serve, I want you to know you need to choose. But I want to remind you where you stand right now is the land of promise that God gave our forefathers. That the land you're standing on was promised to our father Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob. The land you're standing on is a land that was promised unto them that God has brought us to out of the land of Egypt. The land you're standing on is a land we've traveled to out of bondage. Because when Joseph was down in Egypt there, when he was being promoted to the right hand of Pharaoh, all of his brothers who should not have been starving and should have had bread in their land because of their disobedience to God, they had to go down to that place. But when they found their place, down in Egypt, God continued to bless them there. But in the process of time, they turned their heart against God and they no longer serve God. And Pharaoh didn't recognize them as the children of God. But God has since brought us out of that land with the mighty hand of Moses. And he parted the Red Sea and he led us through. By cloud of the daytime and a fire of the nighttime. And God brought us to this place. And listen, he rescued us and we wandered in the wilderness. But I want you to know that while we wandered in the wilderness, God did not depart from either one of us. But our clothes didn't fall off our backs and our shoes never wore out. And he led us over and he fed us with manna and he fed us with meat. When we were thirsty, he allowed water to come out of the rock. And he gave us water when we were thirsty. And he brought us into this good, good land that we dwell right now. That he promised us a long time ago. And when our enemies were here and we got down to this place. And when all of you were weak hearted and you couldn't see it. I want you to know the God I serve is a God of victory. And he has never failed us. He has not forsaken us. He has not departed from us. And we are dwelling in the land that he has promised us. And now I'm telling you to choose who you will serve. But before you choose, you need to know that I'm going to serve the Lord. And I don't serve the Lord simply because it was a convenient prospect or something I decided to do out of lightness of my heart, but I serve God because I know God. Hey, listen, we serve God not because mom or dad served him. We serve God because we know God. There's victory in God. And by the help of the Lord, we'd like to preach just a moment of time. And I look around here and I hope and pray that y'all have made a profession. Most of you have. But I want you to know, nonetheless, even though you've made a profession, there's times when we get discouraged in this way. Brother James touched on that in Sunday school too, out of the book of James. And we're not going to rehash any of those things that were brought up here. But Sunday school was a blessing. Sixth chapter of the book of 2 Kings, real quick. Verse 8 down through 17. And we'll try to hurry through the reading. I desire your prayers.
Bless the Lord.
Says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with the servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there. Not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called a servant, said unto them, will you not shew me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. When the servant of the man of God was risen early, he gone forth, behold, and host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And you can be seated this morning. We've read that scripture in the past, and we've preached out of this portion of the scripture in the past. But as we look here, I thought about how it is sometimes down in life that our perception of the way things are and our perception of the situation that we're in. Listen, it is one way in all reality. Listen, the situation where we are is altogether different in the eyes of God. And listen, and so we begin to look here and we think about the victory there is in God and the victory in Jesus. After all, Apostle Paul wrote to him and he said, thank God for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. So therefore we know we have victory from in Jesus through sin. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But I want you to focus here real quick about what was going on. First of all, listen, there was a Syrian, the king of Syria here. He was coming against to camp and to war against Israel. His desire was to destroy Israel. Ever since the beginning of time, listen, when people begin to serve God, we find that the enemy in this world, our adversary, has always sought to destroy those that believe and trust in God. If you don't think you have an adversary today, if you're a child of God, you are sadly mistaken. Listen, but we all have an adversary as long as we're in this life. But I'm glad we've got help from above. Listen, and I do also that even though Israel found themselves here in a situation where Syria desired to destroy them, that God had put a man down in Israel. Hey, listen, God had a prophet there, listen, who served him and loved him and prayed to him and sought his counsel. And all of a sudden here we find that, listen, Israel was in such a place where they might not have been right in the eyes of God, but God nonetheless still had a soft place in his heart for the children of Israel. And then we find that the king of Syria here one desired to destroy them, but we find also that God had a man there who was making intercession. And when the king would desire to go and camp somewhere, and listen, God would send word down to Elisha here, and Elisha would go and tell the king where to go, not to go. And the Bible
Bible says he escaped the king of Assyria, or king of Syria, on more than just one occasion. Listen, but not once, not twice, but several times. And all of a sudden the king here sought to destroy the man of God. How often have you felt like that the devil wants to destroy you? I say this today, if you don't think the devil's after you, hey, listen, then you're not right with God. Hey, listen, if you think the devil don't bother you, you're not right with the Lord. You say, well, preacher, how can you say that? Because Peter himself, hey, listen, was one that Satan desired to sift as the wheat. I found that in the Bible, that every man of God, every woman of God, every child of God, hey, listen, has had someone in this world desiring to take their testimony, destroy their influence, hey, listen, having desire to shut their mouths. But I'm glad that the work of God will never be hindered. And it wasn't hindered here, because God, as he went down to Elisha, and he told him of the things that the enemy was doing, and Elisha expounded on them to the king of Israel. He escaped the hand of the enemy. Finally got down to the point where the king of Syria decided that he was going to destroy that man who was telling the secrets out of his bedchamber. And he began to ask, well, where is he? Listen, I want you to know that Elisha wasn't hiding in a cave anywhere. Listen, he wasn't someplace where they couldn't find him. If he wanted to be hid, I'd say he could have hid himself. Or rather, God would have hid him from any of the enemies. But God put him out there right to be found. Hey, listen, and it wasn't in that same verse when the king asked where he was. It wasn't 10 verses down. It was the exact same verse where they said, well, he's down in Dothan. In other words, he's not hiding. Hey, listen, he's not afraid. He's not scared. I want you to know, Satan would desire for you to hide somewhere and make yourself unknown to the world. But as long as you've got God in your heart, we ought to stand firm, stand fast. Hey, listen, I don't have anything to hide from. The world needs to hear about what we've got, friend. And we ought to be front and center for our Lord Jesus Christ today. Too many times folks have listened to the adversary and tell them about how the world don't want to hear what they have to say. Hey, listen, what shape has it gotten our world in? Our society is a corrupted mess right now because people have too long said, well, they don't want to hear what you have to say. You're a religious nut. You're a freak. You're in the minority. Hey, where's it got us right now? I'll say this. It's no time to hide. It's time to stand front, stand fast, stand forward. Hey, listen, it don't care if they like it or not. It don't matter if they don't like to hear what we have to say. The truth of the matter is, they need to hear it. And they come to him and they said, that man's down in Dothan right now. He said, I want you to send my horses. I want you to send the chariots. I want you to send the army. I want you to circle that city because we're going to come down on him and we're going to destroy him. And listen, sometimes in life, you might be like the servant of the man of God. When the enemy starts camping around you, the first thing you do is get filled up with fear. What can I do to make the enemy go away? What can I do to appease him? What can I do that I can escape and not bother me anymore? Well, hey, listen, if you want to sit quietly and shut your mouth and not testify for God and not live for the Lord, I don't imagine the enemy will ever really bother you. Hey, listen, it's when he got out of that camp. The Bible says he got up early in the morning and he walked out and he saw all those things around him. The first thing he did was run back to the man of God and said, now what are we going to do? Hey, listen, they've camped around us. Hey, listen, they're all around us, our horses, our chariots, and the men, they're all around this city of Dothan. We're in trouble and we need help. That was his perception. You know, a lot of people might look around and say, you people of God, you're in trouble. That's your perception. But God's never lost a battle. And God is always victorious. And Elisha, as good as, hey, listen, as good as God was in the life of Elisha and the things that he saw, hey, listen, and the things that he grew in, and that was part of the Sunday school this morning. Hey, listen, the tribulations and the trials that he had in life had only done nothing but work his, listen, it allowed him to work patience with God so that he knew that no matter what happened to him in life, that God was going to be there for him. And when he got up and he walked out of the, wherever he was in, if he was in a tent or he was in a home or he was in a cabin or wherever he was, hey, listen, he got up and he walked out and he looked around And he looked to his servant. He said, don't you know that there's more for us than there are of them? And listen, in other words, you don't have to be faint-hearted. You don't have to doubt. There's no need to get down and out. I'm just telling you, all you got to do is look up, because God has camped all around us. Hey, listen, if he camped around Elisha and he camped around Israel, how much more do you think he'll camp around those that have made their robes white in the blood of his own son? He loves us today. And Elisha, he simply looked up and he said, oh God, he said, I pray that you open his eyes and allow this one to see. Hey, listen, that ought to be a prayer to a lot of our people who are discouraged and distressed. God, would you open their eyes and allow them to see all that you've done for them? Oh God, just let them look and see how you've camped all around, how you've got victory in store for them. All they've got to do is look close. It don't take all day to find God. All you got to do is look for him. You'll find him. He's close to all of us today. Hey, listen, especially to his own children. Hey, listen, when Elisha prayed, he said that the eyes of his servant, he opened them up. Hey, what did he see? I believe behind every chariot, he saw 10 chariots. Behind every horse, he saw 10 horses. Behind every man, he saw 10 angels. Hey, listen, they weren't the horses of men, or the horses, or the chariots of men, or the army of men. It was the horses and the chariots of fire of the Godhead. Hey, listen, he had camped around them. Oh, listen, and he opened his eyes, and he got victory, because Elisha wasn't looking in the eyes and the perception of his servant. Elisha had his eyes on God. How much better our life is when we keep our eyes on God. How much do we realize that we have the victory if we just keep our eyes on God? I'm reminded in another scripture very similar to this one. Hey, listen, over in the book of 2 Chronicles, I believe it is, where Hezekiah was in the same situation, only it wasn't the king of Syria, it was the Assyrian king. And they had come down there and they had, hey, listen, they had gotten to the people, and his messenger stood outside of the wall, outside of the city, and they had camped around, and he began to belittle the king. He began to belittle Hezekiah, and he began to belittle God. And he said, I don't care who you serve. Don't you know that the king of Assyria has already been through all those other countries, and they serve gods too? Hey, listen, but they're now captive, and they're our slaves. And the God you serve is no different than the gods that they served. And you need to know that you need to just come on out and hand yourself over to us. Because the king that Hezekiah, your king, the God that he's serving, is not able to deliver you. And then they went back, and Hezekiah began to rehearse these things, and he was troubled, and he was worried, and all the people were worried. But all of a sudden, hey, listen, Hezekiah took his eyes off the adversary, and he put his eyes on God, and he turned to his bone people, and he said, I want you to know this. Don't be worried. Don't be dismayed. Be of good courage. Because who is for us is far more than they are. And listen, and they can camp around this city all they want, but our God, and listen, the God of Israel. And he went back and he rehearsed it all over again, didn't he? And listen, that's what they always did. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, the God that put us here, the God that let us out. What he was doing was rehearsing all of the victories that God had given them. And listen, he has said, he is for us. Oh, thank the Lord today. If God, I believe it was one writer in the New Testament, maybe Apostle Paul, but it might have been another. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? You want to happen to King, the Assyrian king? They just went by the wayside. They left. They never came back. You want to know why? Because God confounded them. And Israel never lifted a finger. You think you have to fight your battles on your own? No. The Bible tells us, and I've preached that before, we don't stand toe-to-toe and fight our own battles. Brother Chester, you're not going to face the devil tomorrow and fight him for yourself. We've got the Lord on our side. Yeah. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Sometimes the devil don't flee from the people of God because the people of God quit resisting the devil and they give in. And I believe that Brother James covered that in Sunday school also. Hey, listen, there needs to be a time when we get on our hands and knees and we begin to ask God and inquire of God and look to God for our help. And we don't indulge the enemy. When you indulge the enemy, you're in trouble. Every time. Every time. I'm also reminded in the Bible where there was also another mighty army. But we all know about that. In the book of Exodus, we find that the Egyptians were wanting to utterly destroy Moses and all the people that had just left. I mean, these people, they ransacked Egypt when they left. I mean, they took horses. I mean, they took goods. They took chariots. They loaded their wagons. I mean, they left there with the spoils of Egypt. But it wasn't them. It was just God giving them the victory. And they said, so God had overcome them all. And I'm going to quickly move along because we could stay in the old Bible for hours. And I'm not going to do that to you today. But listen, as we look at the scriptures, we find that God always provided victory. In the Old Testament, we read it all through. And I've encouraged people to read the Old Testament and the old Bible. Hey, listen, just because we see the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the love of God to a stiff-necked and a hard-hearted people, we see the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. And you might say, well, that don't relate to me. It relates to every one of us. But then we go over into the New Testament and we find that, hey, listen, we look at the all those armies and we look at all those enemies of Israel. And we can begin to look and we begin to move that over into the spiritual aspect of things. And we know that we have an enemy and we know that we're in bondage. Sin will hold people longer than Pharaoh will. Sin will hold somebody their whole life with no way out. Until God gave a remedy.
Yeah.
So listen, do y'all remember the time in your life when the enemy had you?
Yeah.
And you were in the stronghold of sin? And you couldn't escape? I want you to know something. The Bible says that they camped around Elisha and his servant in Dothan. Doesn't say anybody else down there. It was just they were there to camp around Elisha and his servant. So if you looked at it, you could say, well, they had come just to surround them where they couldn't escape. That's what sin will do. It'll isolate you. Satan will isolate you and put you off in a place. And if you entertain him long enough, it'll destroy you. I'm reminded in the Bible where there was a woman one time, and we preached on this just the other day. And Dylan preached on this other one just the other day. Now listen, but they drug that woman out and they put her in the street. And she was there, and all of the city gathered around her. Every one of them was ready to stone her. Listen, they picked up the stones. They were ready to kill that woman because of the sin that she had committed. They caught her, the Bible said, in the very act. But Jesus knew where she was too. He knew the very act also. He wasn't ready. He wasn't willing to stone her. You want to know why? Because when the people at Jerusalem, they surrounded her that day, there was running the crowd that was there to help her. He was there to rescue her. He was no different than the horses and the chariots of fire that had camped around Elisha. He come to rescue each and every one of us. From sin. And when they were surrounding that woman, Jesus just simply stooped down. And I don't know what he wrote. And somebody asked that last week. I believe it was in Sunday school. And it really don't matter. But what happened next was something that was miraculous. Because Christ opened up their eyes in front of all of them. And those that were standing there realized that they were in the same shape that this woman was in. They had sin in their life. Just like this woman had. Hey, listen, he opened up their eyes. He opened up the woman's eyes. And when they were all said and done, the enemy was altogether gone. And the woman found herself in the presence of Jesus. Hey, listen, and he said, woman, where are thou accusers? In other words, where are those that desire to destroy you right now? She said, Lord, I don't have anybody that wants to. He said, neither do I, but go and sin no more. And listen, when Elisha prayed that the eyes of his servant would be opened up, hey, listen, the enemy wasn't found anymore. He found that he was surrounded by the camp and the host of heaven. Hey, listen, they were there for protection. Jesus Christ came to rescue and to save us today. Amen. That woman perceived that death was coming. What was her perception? Her perception was, I'm going to die. Yeah. I mean, that's right. I mean, she was at the end of life. Probably looking around hoping there was somebody she could see that would help her, but realizing everybody there was out to kill her that day. When you were lost, you just thought there was nobody around that could help you. But I'm so glad that that one was in the crowd that came by and began to speak to you ever so gently. Listen, those people were just, I believe they were picking up stones with accusation after accusation after accusation after accusation. You remember when you were lost? Hey, listen, you sat in the seat and the devil told accusation after accusation how you were good for nothing, how you would amount to nothing. God never loved you for anything. You had no hope. You deserved to die in your sins. Listen, that nothing God promised you was, meant anything to you or was applicable to your life or even applied to your soul. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, begin to whisper peace in your heart. I begin to knock at you and say, you need to come. You need to come. I died for you. I loved you. I gave my life for you. I rose again for you. I'm here to make intercession for you. Just listen. Choose this day who you'll serve. And listen, you can go in the path that you're on and you can die a sinner and be separated, or you can choose God and you can have victory. Woman stayed there, and the Bible says she looked up and she saw Jesus. There he was. There he was. The blind man, I'm sure, from birth, perceived that he would die blind. I thought about this man because the Bible says when Jesus healed him on that day, and we preached on this a couple of weeks ago, that even his own parents somewhat turned against him because they had a fear that they were going to be excluded out of the temple. And when they came to him and they said, well, is this your son? They said, hey man, that's our son. Was he blind? He was blind from birth. What happened? He's of age, go ask him. Because they fear. Because of fear. Sometimes because of fear we do things that we shouldn't. Should have been proud of their son. They should have been proud that he was their son. They should have been proud and happy, and they should have been rejoicing with him that Jesus had healed him. But because of fear, they didn't. A lot of times we don't do things for God because of fear. Shame on us, right? But the Bible says that Jesus, he came and met this man, had come to him, and that man, he was perceived all alone. I mean, his own parents had left him, as far as that goes. And the Pharisees and the temple leaders, they were going to cast him out, exclude him. And here he was. He'd been blind, but now he could see. I mean, a great miracle was performed in his life. And yet people were turned against him. Hey, we had a lot of people turn against us when God saved us too. The Bible says that they come to him and he said, I don't know. All I know is I was blind and now I see. Tell us what happened. I was blind and now I see. Well, who did it? I don't know. They said, well, this man was not of God. And he said, whether he was God or not, I can't tell you. But all I know is that I was blind and now I see. Almost saying, you're not listening to me. I'm telling you that I couldn't see and now I can see. And I don't know who did it. But I sure would love to meet him. Jesus come by, began to talk to him. Told him, he said, I'm the one that touched you.
Amen.
I'm he. Thank God. Don't you remember the day the Lord touched you?
I remember it right now.
I just lifted you up. You was blind. I was lost, but now I'm found. Everybody turned their back on me. I was lost, but I'm found. And you want to share it with everybody, but all you get is you get doubtful looks and people staring at you like, that's just not possible. You don't understand. I was lost, and now I'm found. And when they turned their back on you, listen, aren't you glad that you had a Savior who wouldn't leave you, wouldn't separate Himself, but He found you, He sought you out, and He walks with you. And He talks with you. And He teaches you all along the way. Sometimes our perception on things isn't right. How we perceive things isn't correct. And I'm glad God's able to open our eyes and show us where we stand. Last one Brother Dylan preached about the other day. That man they called Legion. Where was he? He was out in the cage. You want to know why? He was chained. He was fettered. He would break the chains, break the fetters. He was cutting himself, living among the tombs. The Bible says he was down there in Gadara. I looked this man up today and I read it this morning again. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. And he went to Gadara. He didn't go into the city, but he got off the boat and Legion was there. This man called Legion was there. So what that tells me is after he encountered this man, threw out all the enemies, threw out all the adversaries, I thought about, you think that man got a legion of demons all in a day? I said that to say this. I believe sin will progress in your life if you give in to it. You give in to one thing, and before too long, something else will creep in. Before too long, something else will creep in. Before too long, something else will creep in. I believe this happened to this man over a period of time. And he found himself in such a situation where his own family, his friends, his loved ones, they couldn't deal with him. He was possessed. I mean, everything about him was, I mean, none of his own self was there anymore. It's probably buried deep down in there. But Jesus went across Galilee just for him. Just for him. That'll make you shout and turn upside down. Jesus went across Galilee for this man. How much farther did he come for me and you? He left heaven for me and you. And he found that man. And he threw out all the adversaries. It wasn't a battle. He just told them to come out. That's the power and the authority of God. That's the victory in Jesus. It didn't take all day to get saved. You just had to repent. And when you did that, all those things were gone. And God moved in and the Spirit moved in. And your sins were washed away and wiped away and covered. But he went all the way across the Sea of Galilee into Gadara, that place where the Gadarenes. And he met that man. And when all that happened, he got in the boat and the man clung to him and said, no, you need to stay. And he said, no, go down into Gadara. He said, testify. Tell him all the marvelous things that has happened to you. You know what the Bible says? It says that he went down there and the word of the marvelous blessing that had bestowed him, it said he spread it through the Decapolis. And I don't know if you need to look this up sometime, but I looked it up this morning. What that meant was Decapolis was the name given to 10 different cities. Hey, listen, it was not only Gadara. There were cities in the north. There were cities south of Gadara. Most of the cities were on the west side and that of Jordan. So we know that Jordan River runs from Galilee down to the Dead Sea. And most of the Decapolis cities, 9 of them were on the west side. One of them was on the east side of Israel. But the Bible says that the word of this man had spread through the Decapolis. In other words, 10 different cities. I don't know how long it took. Hey, listen, the Bible don't say how long it took, but I'm glad to know that this man got victory in his life on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And it wasn't long when his testimony had carried into 9 other cities and the things that Jesus had done for him. How much more should we be testifying of God about the marvelous work in our life? Hey, listen, because the Lord left all of heaven, shed his blood at Calvary, got up on the 3rd day, rescued us, saved us, covered us with his blood. We ought to be proclaiming victory in Jesus. Some folks say went back in Gadara and all them people were amazed. You got that right. But his word went to the cities of the north, the cities that, hey, listen, the east of Gadara, west of Gadara, south of Gadara. Look it up sometime. There was a span of all those cities. That'll be some good Bible reading and studying for you. But I'm glad what God does for one, he'll do for all of us. And what he did for that man that they called Legion, the Bible don't give his name, but I would imagine Jesus didn't call him Legion anymore. Or nobody called him Legion anymore. He didn't go by that name. He went by a new one. God had rescued him. You remember when God... What was that man's perception? As we get back to the topic, we're almost done. We get back to the topic here. What was that man's perception of his life? I'm going to die down here in these tombs. The whole people, all of his friends and loved ones back in Gadara, they probably thought, yeah, he's crazy. He's down there. He's caught up in sin. I mean, there's no hope for him. We can't even go down there. We've tried to talk to him. We've tried to help him, but he's a violent man. He's a hard man. It's not even him. It's not the man we knew. He's different. He's got demons in him. He's possessed. He's just different. Everything about him is vile. They turned their back on him. All of them did. They left him. But Jesus come. The Bible says when they came out and looking for him, he was clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that a great place to be? At the feet of Jesus. We can look at that scripture today, and I'd say this to you. Don't ever give up on praying for your children. Don't ever give up praying for your loved ones. You might perceive them to be cold-hearted. You might perceive them to be not what they used to be. You might think back and long for the days when they were children and they were soft. And you could just tell them something and they believed you because you were mom or you were dad or because they had confidence in you. But now they've grown cold. Seems like they don't even want to talk to you. They won't even look at you. You bring up God and the grace of God and the goodness of God and they blow you off. Your perception is that nobody can reach them. Your perception is that nobody can help them. But might I say that probably somebody perceived that about you at one time? Yeah. Until they decided to pray about it and just quit trying to fight. Quit trying to deal with you on their own. And they just gave you in the hands of God. And out of, seemingly out of nowhere. Yeah. Isn't that how Jesus works? Yeah. Yeah. Seemingly out of nowhere. God opens our eyes. And we see the host. And we see God's goodness camped all around. And we say, thank you, Lord. And he strengthens our resolve and he helps us. And we praise him and we grow in grace and we grow in knowledge. I don't ever want to give up praying for my people. Satan will tell me to. Hey man, the adversaries come to me, so you might as well quit. It don't do you any good. I probably even uttered those words. There ain't no use to pray for them. They've probably been turned over to a reprobate and hardness of heart. But if they have, I'm not the one that turned them over. So who am I to say what they are? Only God knows what they are. Amen. And so until the time that the Lord returns, we ought to just keep on praying for our lost people. That God will get a hold of them. Yeah. And seemingly out of nowhere, I believe, at some point, God will come walking on the shore. And they'll know him for who he is. I didn't want to have anything to do with God necessarily. But when he found me in the church that day, I knew exactly who he was. I couldn't deny who he was. No matter how many times I tried to slough him off or just get by or go leave and not come, you know, just I'll get right. I'll do it on my own. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. That's personal. That's personal relationship. You need to leave me alone. I'll get to it when I get to it. I ain't got time for that. We've all uttered those words. And then the Lord of heaven show up. Remind us
that we're not promised tomorrow. I'm glad when he just steals everything in our life. I mean, really, I believe that's what happens when God brings conviction. He steals everything in your mind and steals everything in your heart. And he lets it all stand still and lets you see for the first time that you don't have forever.
That's right.
That you don't have tomorrow. That you're going to have to choose right now.
That's right.
I mean, that's what Joshua told him. You need to choose this day. The time for choosing is today. The time you chose was today. The time that I chose was today. The time that adulterous woman was relieved and was that day, that today. The time that that man named Legion was that day. So we all have today.
Amen.
But none of us have tomorrow. I know where my eternity is.
Yeah.
Because I know when I look up to heaven, I'm not going to see the adversary camped out. I'm going to see beyond that. Beyond the perceptions. You look beyond the perceptions of this world and you'll see the love that God has for you. And you'll see Jesus who died for you. Satan would love to blind you from that fact. But I want you to know today that Christ died just for you and just for me. And I love him today. And I love him. Let's stand to our feet. James will sing a song.
161. Jesus is tenderly calling me home. Calling today. Calling today. Far from the sunshine of love of our own. Farther and farther.
Someone have a testimony, anything on your heart this morning?